Well, good morning, everybody. How you doing? You doing okay? Are you excited about anything? Sunshine, God's word. I thought maybe someone would yell out the eclipse. Anybody excited about that? A few people. How many people couldn't care less about the eclipse? All right, a few. Appreciate the honesty this morning. Yep. I am excited about spring. I appreciate the sunshine. Was it Friday that it snowed this week? I was like, what in the world's going on? It's after Easter. We're not supposed to have snow after Easter, but just reminded me that Scripture tells us God is sovereign and the rain, or I guess snow, falls on the just and the unjust alike. So we enjoy what God gives us, including the ability this morning to live and breathe and come here and worship together and fellowship together and do those things. I'm excited to welcome some new members. Louise and David and Lynn Byron are here, and just wave your hand. I don't want to have you stand up there. And they have met with the elders, and the elders have heard their testimony of their faith and their desire to be a part of this local body. And so we welcome them this morning as official members at Victor Community Church. Someone mentioned that they were excited about God's word this morning. So anybody else excited about God's word? Excellent. All right. So we're going to kick off a small series, probably about the next 4 weeks or so, that really comes out of the 24/7 initiative, because that, which if you were here for Vision Night, you would remember some of this. If you weren't, then just email us and we can send you a private link so you can see Vision Night and see what's happening there. But our vision as a church comes out of God's word, right? His instruction to us. And so I want to spend a couple of weeks talking about what that really means. And 24/7, the first thing that we want to remind ourselves is that we are on mission to make loving disciples of Jesus Christ who worship, grow, serve, and share. Even if you're just visiting this morning, you probably maybe saw that on the way in. It's on our big wall as you come in the lobby, because we need to constantly be reminded at times what we're here for. Why do we exist? We exist because we are on mission to make loving disciples of Jesus Christ. And that comes right out of Scripture, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It's called the Great Commission. I sometimes refer to it as the Great Co-mission, because as Jesus gives us that instruction, he says, "And I'll be with you always." So it's not like he says, "Go do this, hope it goes well for you." He says, "No, I'm there with you." It's a co-mission. We're on the same mission that Jesus was on. And he talks about there in Matthew 28 to be baptizing and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. Now, what's the significance of baptism? Well, that's an early step of identifying with Christ and making your faith public. And so we certainly encourage that. And obviously, we are teaching ourselves, teaching each other, encouraging each other to obey all that he has commanded. And so when we think about our mission comes straight from, literally from the mouth of Jesus himself, when he said, "Go and make disciples." And because of that, there are some things that we value. We value, as you can imagine, authentic faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't have faith in Christ, if you're just here because it was a nice day, you drove by, lots of people were pulling in the parking lot, you figured, "I'll go where everyone else is going," or you're just been checking things out and you're not quite sure yet, one of the very most important things that we value is that an individual person place their personal faith in Jesus Christ. We value that, we encourage it, and we want you to have an authentic faith in Christ. Secondly, we value personal growth. That's why we have things like youth group and kids ministry and community groups, so that you can be in environments where you can grow that authentic faith, right? There's a lot of benefit to us gathering here on Sunday mornings, a lot of benefit, but not everything happens here on a Sunday morning. If all of your growth were only an hour a week, well, you'd be pretty limited. You and I wouldn't grow very much if we only grew for an hour a week here on a Sunday morning. So we value those other opportunities. We value sacrificial service. Scripture bears out for us that we are to serve one another, that we are to serve those who are outside of the faith. We are to serve anyone who we would consider our neighbor. And if you've ever studied or ever heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan, your neighbor, those who are supposed to serve, are those we can come in contact with day in and day out. You have lots of neighbors around you, even if you are the only house on your street, because you interact with people all of the time. Lastly, we value boldly sharing the gospel. That is at the heart of the Great Commission, right? Let's share the gospel. Let's spread the good news. And so those are things that we value. And one of the things we recognize is that we, as we are tuned in and walking with the Lord 24/7, go ahead and throw that up, we want that to be descriptive of our lives, that we're tuned in and walking with the Lord 24/7. Now, obviously, 24/7 means always, all of the time, whether it's here on a Sunday morning at 9 or 10:45, or whether it's a Tuesday or Thursday at 3 in the afternoon. We want to be tuned into what God's up to, right? I doubt anyone here says, no, I'd be okay not being in step with Jesus. That would be fine with me. And we don't say that, but sometimes our actions kind of allow that to play out in our lives. We get off track. We kind of had our own direction, do the zigzag through life, and we're doing our own thing. And then we realize, wait a minute, I kind of want to get back on track. So we want to be tuned in and walking with the Lord 24/7. And so with that, that involves kind of this constant communication with Christ. And I want to talk about that this morning. So the first place I want you to turn is Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 8 specifically, but I really want to look at verses 6 through 9. Here's what that verse says. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So what are we talking about here in terms of our lives? We're talking about being biblically rooted or biblically founded. That's where we need to begin considering whether or not we are walking with Jesus 24/7. So here's the background a little bit. Joshua is about to embark on a massive task. One of the great characters of the Old Testament is Moses. But Moses has just died, and Joshua now is taking over for Moses, and his task is to, one, take over for Moses, but secondly, to lead Israel into the promised land. A massive undertaking for this young leader. And so here's the instruction that Joshua gets from the Lord. Verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Wow, that's that massive task in front, right? One of the things that often happens in leadership transitions, and a lot of times in churches actually, but in leadership transitions, there will be an intentional transitional person because of the previous person and their legacy. Such a strong, incredibly effective leader, and then you have someone new come in behind them, and there's just some inherent struggles with that. Well, you're not so-and-so. Well, so-and-so didn't do it this way. And sometimes organizations really benefit from having an intentional transitional person who's not the long-term replacement, but the short-term to allow for all of that transitional stuff to happen. Well, this doesn't happen with Joshua. Joshua is on the scene, and God says, you're taking over. You're in charge. And you're going to do, and I don't know if Joshua interpreted it this way, but you're going to do what Moses didn't do or Moses couldn't do. You're going to lead these people into the land that I promised them. And by the way, history would show, if we were to look back, that wasn't necessarily an easy people to lead into the promised land, right? There's a reason they weren't there yet. And so Joshua is given this instruction, and then there's some other instructions that follow it. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Now, understand what Joshua is being told. He's saying, you have this massive task. I wonder if anyone here feels like sometimes in life you have these massive tasks. this huge thing in front of you. You wonder, how in the world am I going to get this accomplished? Joshua is told, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous and be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Just like in Joshua's time, it's true in our time. It takes strength and courage to not turn from the word of God. No wonder God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And how will you be successful? Do everything that the word of God tells you to. Apply those principles. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't diverge from this path that God is laying out in front of you. And we might say experientially, man, it's even harder today because of so much distraction, so much other ideology that's out there, so much of the slippery slope of the way Scripture has been handled over the centuries. But Joshua is told that if you do this, you may be successful wherever you go. By the way, that wasn't a promise just for Joshua. It's a promise for you and I. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. When you're just strong and courageous, when you just pull up your bootstraps, no. When you do exactly what God instructs you to do. When you follow his plan and not turn to the left or to the right. He says, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. What's he talking about? That we talk about, we discuss the word of God, right? He says, meditate on it day and night. That's our brain. That's our faculties, our intellect. We're considering it. We're thinking about it. We're applying it. And so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, that's the application. So it's what we're thinking about. It's what we're talking about. And it's what we're doing with the word of God. Part of my question this morning is, if we feel like, well, I don't know if I walk with God 24/7, let me ask you a question. Are you thinking about the word of God? Are you talking about the word of God? Are you applying the word of God? It's exactly what God outlines for Joshua as he faced this massive task in front of him to be successful in what he does. And what he says is, be strong and courageous. In his day and age, it took strength and courage. And in our day and age, let's be honest, it takes strength and courage to not turn from the left to the right or to the left when it comes to God's word. It takes courage to do that. We live in a culture that oftentimes is antagonistic toward God and his word. You and I live in environments, interact with people who would certainly not agree that being biblically rooted is an important thing. But here we have this instruction. He goes on to say in verse 9, have I not commanded you? It's like a reminder. Now listen, I told you to be strong and courageous. I told you to not turn from God's word. And let me say again, you're going to need to be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You see, it's not just about, well, follow this book of rules. Sometimes we can slide into that. Well, it's about the do's and don'ts, but it's not. It's about God's presence with us as we think about, talk about, and apply God's word. We saw that in the Great Commission when he said, go and make disciples and I'll be with you wherever you go. And notice what he says to Joshua, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Folks, I don't know where you're going to go this week, but there's a promise that God will go with you. I don't know what situation you'll be in where you're really going to lean into or need to lean into being strong and courageous in the midst of the situation or the environment or the circumstances that you're in, but I know God will be with you in that. I know that's his promise. I know he says that we should stay true to his word, and that is a key to our success as we go through this life. And so as we think about following Jesus 24/7, we cannot escape the truth that we need to be biblically rooted and founded. That is the foundation. Why is that important? Well, there's some very practical reasons. Throw some verses up on the screen for you as references. Psalm 119, 105 says, "The word is a light to my path. It's a lamp to my feet. It's something that helps me see the correct way I need to go." I'm sure many of us, if not all of us in this room, at one point have wondered, which way do I need to go here? Which direction? Which turn do I make? Which decision needs to be made? What needs to happen here? Scripture tells us that God's word is a light. It illuminates the way that we should go. It helps us see that. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and active." Scripture is not an old, dusty book, but it's living and active. It is applicable today as much as the day that it was written. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. It helps us figure out all that stuff that's going on inside of us. It helps divide that and identify it and help us understand what's going on in our hearts and minds. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful. It's useful for teaching, it's useful for rebuking, it's useful for correcting and training in righteousness." 17 goes on to say, "So that the person of God, the man of God, the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped." Thoroughly equipped. So I ask you a question. Did you ever need any of that? Did you ever need some illumination as to which direction you need to go? Did you ever need to sort out your thoughts and your attitudes and figure out what's really going on? Did you ever need to be corrected? Did you ever need some encouraging? Did you ever need some training so that you could be thoroughly equipped to do what God's called you to do? I mean, if we're being honest, we all need those things, don't we? That's what the Word of God provides for us. That's why it's so important that we be biblically rooted. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever." And not just that it exists forever, but it is there and stands with its full value from when Joshua got this instruction. Nothing has been diminished over time. The Bible hasn't lost its potency. The Bible isn't, well, not applicable in today's day and age. It's more applicable than ever. It's more useful than ever because we live in a culture, in a society, and you and I struggle with things like figuring out which way to go. We sometimes struggle with, I can't sort out my thoughts here. I'm not sure I'm equipped for what I'm facing in life. And we realize that that's part of the role of the Word of God. And so, we must be biblically rooted, biblically founded. The next thing I want to point out is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Chronicles. I said Corinthians, didn't I? 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So if you want to turn over there, that would be great. Probably just a few more pages in your Old Testament. You'll get past Samuel and Kings, and then you'll find Chronicles. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16. One of the things that, just so you understand some of the background here, we would see if we were to read in the previous chapters that David had brought the ark back to Jerusalem. This was a huge, significant thing. The ark represented God's presence, his power. And so the ark has been brought back into Jerusalem under David's oversight, and he is overseeing worship as well. And as he's doing that, we find that we get to verse 8, actually. We'll hit 11. It'll be in there. But we're going to look at 8 through 13. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 8, David commits this psalm to worship of the Israelite people. And he says this, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." And here's the key verse here. "Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always." He goes on to say, "Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones." So what's the key idea here? Well, the key idea is that we are God-focused. We look to the Lord in his strength. We seek his face always. That's not something that's easy to do, folks. It's not easy to remain God-focused. Sometimes we have life responsibilities that we don't look at as part of God's plan for our lives, and it can maybe shift our focus. Sometimes we get distracted by temptation. Sometimes the circumstances of this life cause us to lose our focus on God, like Peter, who was walking out to Jesus on the water, and then he lost his focus because of the circumstances around him, of the storm that was raging, and then all of a sudden he began to sink. And there may be times where you feel like you've been walking victoriously out to Christ, and there may be other times where you feel like you're sinking as quickly as you possibly could. And so if we're truly going to walk with Jesus 24/7, not only do we need to be biblically rooted, but we need to be God-focused. God-focused. We give thanks to the Lord. We call on his name. We make known among the nations what he has done. We sing to him. We sing praise to him. We tell of his wonderful acts. We look to the Lord and his strength. We seek his face always. It's about focus and being focused on God. You know, as an example of that, it's quite often, almost every morning, when Tina and I get up and we begin to start the day, we ask each other, so what's the plan for today? What do you have going on? Here's what I have going on. We touch base. We kind of make sure we're on the same page. There are times where if she's out of town or I'm out of town, we'll still get on the phone and have that conversation. There's some very practical reasons for that. Then we know what the expectations are as we go throughout the day. We know when we expect to, are we meeting up for lunch? Are we having dinner together? Where is that going to be? What are we doing for dinner? Is there anything you need to do? Anything I need to do? All those kinds of things. But the overarching thing that it does is it keeps us on the same page. It keeps me focused on what she's got going and her focused on what I've got going and us focused on what we've got going. Right? That's a really important step. And this isn't a marriage message, but if you don't do that, I would suggest that. It's very effective. And just like a husband and wife need to stay on the same page and need to be focused as much on each other as they are the other things that are happening in the world around them, we need to be the same way with the Lord. So we need those points where we're checking in with him, where we're saying, God, what do you have for me today? God, here's what kind of is on my radar. Am I on the right track? Is there any adjustments I need to make? You know, our focus needs to be on the Lord, and we might say, well, I've got a job to do, I've got classes to be at, I've got homework to get done, I've got people I need to see. But if we recognize, as I'm God-focused, all of those things are part of what God's doing in my life anyway. Some of those people you need to see are because God set up some divine appointments for you to have a very critical conversation with that person. Some of the opportunities you're going to have are simply because you were asking God, what is it you have for me today? And then we can look back and go, boy, I look back on the day and see that, you know, I see and understand and recognize God's presence with me and that I had the opportunity to walk with him all day today. In the midst of some mundane tasks, in the midst of some mountaintop experiences. And in the 24/7, you'll have both. And so, a couple of questions for you, maybe some suggestions. In terms of being biblically rooted, you need to spend time with the Word of God. We need to read it, we need to study it, we need to discuss it. You often hear me say, pull out your Bibles or your digital device. And if you don't have either one, there's one under a chair around you. And if you don't own one, what do I tell you to do? Take it, write your name in it, and take it home, right? Listen, I hope that every single person here, or if you're listening through the stream, that you have a copy of God's Word. You're at a great spiritual disadvantage if you don't have a copy of God's Word and are not spending time in it. There was a Well, there's been a few, actually. Quarterbacks in the NFL whose coaching staff gave them playbooks that they were to take home and study. One particular quarterback was named Jamarcus Russell. Anybody ever heard of Jamarcus Russell? Yep. He was one of those guys that came out of college and said, oh, awesome potential. There's stories about Jamarcus and his lack of preparation when he was given a playbook and videotapes to take home and study. The next day, when he met with the coaching staff, they asked him specific questions about the tapes, the defensive schemes that he saw, et cetera, et cetera. And he had quite a nice conversation with the coaching staff, which was all garbage, because the coaching staff sent him home with blank tapes because they had questions and concerns about his work ethic and his preparation. He didn't look at the tapes. He never studied the playbook. And you won't find Jamarcus Russell in the NFL anymore. We think, how silly was that? I mean, if we were to be very blunt and be face-to-face with Jamarcus and had the relationship where we could say this, we would say, well, how could you be so dumb? Why would you do that? You don't even realize the opportunity you had, and you weren't willing to study the playbook. I wonder if God, in very similar ways, says, listen, Christian, I gave you the playbook. Why aren't you studying it? Why aren't you? Are you just trying to bluff your way through thinking you watched blank tapes? Like, what's going on? Right? It's so silly that we would have God's word available to us and do nothing with it, especially when we understand all the benefit there is, all that it is there for us to receive from. So, have a copy of God's word. If you don't own one, we will help you. We will get you one. Take one out of the chair around you. What about a Bible app? There's lots of resources there in this digital world that we live in that will help you read and study God's word. It's not like you just have to sit down and power your way through Leviticus or Numbers. Some people read Numbers and go, there aren't even any numbers in there. What's going on? There are resources to help you do that. So download a Bible app. Begin a study program in that, a daily, even if it's 5 minutes every morning. Spend some time. That will help grow your roots so that you are biblically rooted. Get in a community group where you discuss God's word, where you can interact with other people around the word of God. If you're not doing any of those, just start doing one of them. When we think about fostering our focus on the Lord, that happens a number of ways. Through prayer, do we spend time talking with him? Do we have that check-in like the conversation Tina and I have almost every morning? Hey, God, what's going on today? Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I've got going on in my heart and mind. Here's what I'm struggling with. How about some disciplined reminders? Post-it notes. You make appointments in your phone for every other meeting and important thing you have in life. Why don't you make an appointment with God in the phone? Little reminder, ding-a-ling-a-ling, hey, time to spend 10 minutes with God today. These aren't magic bullets, but they're just suggestions that many, many, many of us have found helpful. Again, involvement in a group helps you foster your focus on the Lord and gives you some element of accountability. Because listen, when any of us are facing a daunting task, and maybe focusing on the Lord is not a daunting task, but for many of us at many seasons of life, it can be a daunting task. It sure is helpful to have someone else on the road with us. And so some element of accountability, some check-in. Here's what we find. As we follow God, we can count on the promise that we find in Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That tells us that God brings opportunity our way. He's been working ahead of time for your success in following him. He's setting up opportunities for you to step into this week because you're following him 24/7. Because that's your desire, because that's where you're headed. And so my question, and maybe your prayer this morning is, what has God been preparing for you this week? Because if we truly believe Scripture, then we have to believe that there's something going on this week that God's been working behind the scenes and in my life. Maybe I recognize it, maybe I don't. But he's been working, preparing something for me this week, something for you this week. And I say that singularly, but I actually believe it's plural. Not something, but some things. So this morning, would you be daring and courageous enough and strong enough in your faith to ask God this question and really authentically ask it and desire the answer and be looking for the answer? God, what have you been preparing for me this week? Not just, I want to get through the week, but God, you've got something for me this week. For every single person in here, I believe God's got multiple things for us this week. And as we're biblically rooted, as we're God-focused, and we're walking with him 24/7, those things will become apparent, and we will be able to step into those as those opportunities come our way. Let's pray. God, that is the simplicity of our prayer this morning. As we recognize what your word has taught us, we recognize that we need to be biblically rooted. We need to have a foundation in the instructions that you've given us. And we need to be focused. And sometimes that's hard and that's difficult. And sometimes there are lots of things that battle for our focus. So would you help us to be strong and courageous? Would you help us to, as we live out our faith, as we spend time in your word, as we spend time with you, God, would you allow Ephesians 2:10 to become more and more of a reality in our lives? And we ask you this morning, what are the opportunities that you've been preparing for me this week? Lord, would you remind me of that question every day, throughout the day, so that I can see what those are as you bring them my way. And I may be able to faithfully step into and walk out whatever it is that you have been working way in advance for me. In Christ's name, amen.